Are you ready for the Low Blows Network?
The last year of our lives has forced every single one of us to pause and reevaluate whatever normal it was that had become routine. Ask ourselves if that was acceptable, then readjust for a new and improved normal when circumstances allow. From global movements like Black Lives Matter to long-time partnerships and friendships falling by the wayside. It was as if in March 2020 the entire planet decided we were going to audit our lives and absolutely everything was up for discussion publicly. With those discussions came shocking revelations that broke our brains and challenged the way that we saw certain people, personality types, or the world at large. If you're familiar with me or my work, you may notice that I've got a weird habit of raising concerns about things days, weeks, or sometimes even months before stories break. This isn't because I'm super smart or I've got a slew of inside info available to me that I'm holding back. It's because as I've gotten older, I've learned to trust my spidey senses. Don't worry, this podcast won't just be me gloating. I'd gladly give this ability up considering it's based on growing up with a vicious combination of poor boundary control, ill judgment, and a wicked dose of anxiety, which led to me spending almost the entirety of my 20s ignoring good advice, making awful decisions, then left hurt trying to figure out how I can make sure that never happens again. One positive of these experiences, the result of learnings and the therapist bills along the way, is that one of my better life skills, apart from condensing big topics down to 15 minutes and putting my inane ravings over some funky lo-fi, is being able to spot a cunt before news of their cuntishness is revealed. The word cunt is emotive, I know, but it's the only catch-all term I can think of to encompass cunt-worthy traits such as narcissism, abusiveness, prejudice, creepiness, disloyalty, and so on. Because a running theme, you see, every single time revelations break is, how could we have known? Well, it turns out you can. Or you can at least train your spidey senses to focus on the right things so you don't have to spend your entire life worrying whether or not people will put up footage of you celebrating David Starr winning the OTT Championship, talking about how J.K. Rowling's writing taught you everything you know about being inclusive, or find your retweets of Owen McDermott talking about how abuse is wrong. So, I put together some of my major learnings that inform me in deciding how I feel about someone before I can develop a fuller picture of who they actually are. Obviously, these don't include major red flags, such as many different women say they've sexually assaulted them. Today, we'll look at the smaller telltale signs that, while not proof, can steer you away from letting them into your life or wearing their merchandise. As such, these can be applied to both celebrities and public figures, as well as friends, family, or potential partners that you can let into your inner circle. 1. They really, really want you to think positively about them. If anyone has ever read up on traits of sociopaths or narcissists, you'll notice a big correlation with the traits on this list because while not all narcissists are necessarily cunts, most cunts have narcissistic traits. And part of any narcissist's toolkit is the need to be liked, respected, admired, and looked up to. This will enable them to manipulate you easily when the chance arises. Where you can spot this in action is the need to be the loudest and most vociferous person in the room when it comes to stuff like big issues coming up, or jumping on memes or trends. With like buttons operating almost as a currency these days, cunts can literally quantify the combination of words they will need to say to get your approval, and they will. They will also place a high value on qualities like niceness. When doing something for you or someone else, they will make it a point of note to bring it up or remind you of it. When normal people commit acts of kindness, it's effortless and natural and you can follow their logic. They got you a gift for a milestone like your birthday, or they thought you might be feeling down because of something that happened. When a cunt commits an act of kindness, they'll make logical leaps about what they think you need or are feeling. It'll feel forced, like a lot of unnecessary thought or effort has gone into it, which can later feel extremely flattering and generous until you feel like you're indebted to them later on. Cunts will also have absolutely zero issue bringing this up down the line when they see the debt is due, even if you didn't ask for or expect the act of kindness to begin with. 2. They have to have the moral high ground on every issue, even if it contradicts their feelings on other issues. On a similar note, cunts will almost obsessively have to loudly project that they have the correct, most popular prevailing opinion on every big topic and never ever go against the grain. This is because the threat in doing so is removing their scope for influencing you should they ever need to. Have you ever been in a discussion with friends or colleagues where you felt differently to how the majority of the group is feeling? Of course you have. Not every issue on this planet can be distilled to a straightforward correct or incorrect opinion, because all of us have different experiences, perspective and priorities. Quite the opposite, in fact. When you try weigh up these differing factors, you'll find most divisive topics come down to a least bad rather than an outright correct option. Otherwise, they wouldn't be divisive topics worthy of discussion to begin with, and would already be solved. But it's a very human trait and need to simplify these issues as black and white and rally behind it as part of a mob. This enables us to feel safer that we're correct. We can all agree that we've seen this groupthink in action, where complex issues are presented as straightforward, like we can sum them up in 280 characters, for example. But the wisdom of crowds is proven wrong all the time. Or did you think Donald Trump was a well-qualified president who really added to the well-being of America after millions voted him into power? When you hear an issue, weigh it up and feel differently to others, it proves that you're human and thinking for yourself. When a cunt sees a big issue, they think, I don't really give a fuck about this, and instead see an opportunity to put their name beside something which can get them attention, adulation and influence that they can use at a later date. So you'll see their name beside every single issue, trying to loudly share the opinion of whatever the majority of the group they are trying to influence feels. If you notice that their opinion in certain issues completely contradicts their actions or opinion in others, this is proof that they're not actually thinking and just following because of alternative motives. They will also be the first to try attack and cancel those who hold dissenting opinions, because doing so gives them some plot of territory within this narrative with which they can build influence. It gives them followers they can also hide behind if they need to later. A good example of this is when people are accused of the likes of sexual misconduct or racism, having been loudly against these issues publicly. 3. Their rules and moral code are inconsistent. Once in a position of influence, a cunt's priority is to consolidate and protect this position at all costs. And if you're under their influence, this can be quite a confusing experience. Say, for example, your boss is a cunt who may have noticed you've started to twig as much and aren't buying into their influence as much as others are. They may read you the riot act for being late on one rare occasion, while also letting others who buy into them away with it regularly. There's no internal logic to this. Any person with influence of note would agree that the correct way to manage people is to set consistent standards and apply treatment to those who work for you based on how they fulfill those standards. So there is your tiny telltale sign that the rules or morals of a situation don't matter, and that this person's priority is trying to manipulate you into following them at all costs. 4. They cannot and will not allow themselves to be held accountable. While we're talking about management, one theory of mine in managing people that I've yet to find doesn't bear out is that by introducing the idea of accountability, the only people who will have issues with that are those who know they'll be found out by it. For me, there is no counter argument to accountability once you set reasonable expectations. Cunts hate the idea of accountability because it poses a threat to their lies, influence and control. They will immediately resist any attempt to introduce it and will only be satisfied leaving any conversation around it with no firm commitments in place. If they're in a situation where they have to be accountable, expect them to immediately try to undermine the idea and you personally at every juncture. Either that, or they'll try to control it and position themselves as overseeing everyone else's accountability. If they cannot do any of this, expect protest behaviour or them simply ejecting themselves from a given situation at the first available opportunity. 5. They are allergic to taking responsibility, even if it looks at first glance like they already have. There's a big difference between someone saying they were wrong and someone taking responsibility. You see this distinction in play when you see shit apologies from people who've been accused of wrongdoing and don't have any other reproach. Take the phrase, I need to do better, for example, which has become the yours sincerely of 2021 non-apologies. At no point in that phrase does it admit that someone did a bad thing. At best, they're admitting that they weren't absolutely fucking perfect 100% of the time, and there was mild room for improvement in their behaviour. But it does look, at first glance, like an apology and an admission of wrongdoing. This is what we refer to as a cunt's apology. Taking responsibility for your behaviour involves speaking directly to the person or people you've wronged. It involves an acknowledgement of what you did, a demonstration of understanding of why you did it as well as the impact that it had on others, genuine contrition for your actions, a willingness to accept any forthcoming punishment or make the situation right, and an acceptance that the apology may not be forgiven by the victim. A cunt's apology is generally impersonal, only admits to what's been proven conclusively, if even that, is performative and manipulative in its nature, and may try to passive-aggressively introduce doubt to the accusations. It focuses on excuses, and its main purpose is damage limitation, so the cunt can keep as much of what they had beforehand as possible. 6. When challenged, they attack you and not the point you've raised. Cunts understand and embody the phrase, if you're explaining, you're losing, better than most of us. Because a cunt will generally have low empathy in order to maximize their cuntishness, they don't care about the impact their behavior has on others. And as we've discussed, they hate accountability, so don't even want to open the door to having to explain their actions when they're challenged. Answering only creates an open dialogue and opens the door to further questioning, something they know on some level won't work out well for them. This leaves one clear course of action for when a cunt is challenged: to attack and attempt to smear anyone who dares question them personally. It's a solid strategy. None of us are perfect and have some flaw that others can spot if they look hard enough. Neutral observers generally don't care about who's right and wrong in an argument and just who looks like they won the argument. And if they win, they'll be seen as invincible while also potentially deterring future challengers from speaking out by sending a message that any challenge will be met with a personal attack. We saw this tactic deployed almost daily by the king cunt Donald Trump during his time as US president. Almost immediately upon being sworn in, he attempted to discredit all media who wished to challenge him as fake news. Opponents of his were given nicknames that his followers immediately parroted nationwide. He shouted down, bullied, snubbed, and ignored anyone who would challenge him during mandatory press conferences. And, in perhaps his lowest moment of many, he used tear gas and rubber bullets to silence those protesting his inaction over police brutality against black people. 7. They impinge upon your personal boundaries. Let's move closer to home now. Boundaries are deadly. They give you a sense of ownership over your own life and choices, allow you to develop as an individual, give you peace and space to ensure your needs are met, leave you less angry and resentful of others, allow you to be compassionate and help those who deserve it. What could possibly be wrong with any of that? To cunts though, they're a threat. You having ownership of your own thoughts means they don't have ownership of them. You having time and space to make your own decisions means you having time and space to decide they're a cunt. Cunts will attack your boundaries once given an inch. They will try bribe you into giving up your personal freedom by selling you on the benefits of giving them an all access pass to your life. They'll gaslight you as unreasonable and push back on any attempts to assert personal boundaries with them. If you're successful, they'll attempt to manipulate others into also seeing you as unreasonable. Your boundaries matter. Guard them with your life, especially against cunts. 8. They have zero loyalty to anyone or anything but themselves. After what we've established so far, this is probably common sense, but it's worth giving its own space. Have you ever had a friend who'd regularly turn on others around them? They'll be the first person in the group to point out a perceived slight that wasn't bothering everyone else, then whips others up into a frenzy to the point that this flaw is the only thing that everyone else can see. They'll never directly confront the aggrieved and instead conduct their bitching sessions in private, stewing others up to do the confronting or alienating for them. You're probably thinking of someone now, and chances are the person you're thinking of is a cunt, and the person they've just smeared and was alienated was guilty of nothing else but being perceived as a threat for reasons even they don't understand. Maybe they tried to create some boundaries, challenge the cunt lightly, tried to introduce accountability or any of the reasonable steps we've already discussed. To a cunt, this will all make them persona non grata, and that's how you end up getting manipulated into a witch hunt against someone you always thought was actually sound enough. This isn't just limited to people though, it can be a job, a business, a former hobby or passion, a collection of people, a football team. A cunt's sole loyalty is to themselves and doing whatever the fuck they want unchallenged. So if you don't correctly identify this person early on and take necessary steps, you may find yourself the focus of their ire without even realizing. 9. They always leave you emotionally triggered. Healthy relationships, be they romantic, with friends, family, or even relationships with your hobbies or interests, are supposed to add to or improve our lives. They should leave us feeling safe, secure, empowered to be ourselves, and confident in what we do and say. Even if you're doing something exciting like an adventure that leaves you nervous, or even if you're going through something tough, the relationships should ground you and give you those safe feelings to help get you to the other side. This safety and security is a threat to cunts for many of the same reasons as personal boundaries are. If you feel safe and secure, you're more likely to defend that position and less likely to be influenced. If you feel empowered to be yourself, you may feel empowered to ask questions that cunts may not like. Cunts understand the powers of emotions and how strong emotional feelings can override logical instincts. If you listen to my So Your Friend is a Nazi show, I went in depth about how being triggered causes our amygdala to temporarily switch off our logical and compassionate instincts. This makes us extremely suggestible because while in an emotional state, it becomes natural to seek some kind of guidance to manage said emotions. This is why adverts will often play on your emotions before giving you a call to action to purchase products as a solution to the emotional reaction. What makes this difficult to identify sometimes is that it feels like we are in charge of all of our emotional reactions. We are to a point, but they are reactions to information we're presented with. Does someone you know continually present you with information that leaves you triggered and crucially not with them? As you think of this, ask yourself if they have a suggested reaction to go along with what they present you, or do they present this information as a way of conveniently deflecting from a potential issue with them? For example, I once had an ex who, when I'd come close to breaking up with them after some unacceptable treatment, would conveniently tell me that someone close to them had a distressing health crisis that would magically disappear by the next time I saw them, never to be spoken of again. 10. You don't want to talk about it. The truth is, with all their efforts to manipulate you, on some level cunts clearly know that they're cunts and are making concerted efforts to stop you from realizing that yourself. Here's the thing though, on some level we realize all of this ourselves. We know something is wrong when they do what they do, but we rationalize it, maybe because we see them as bringing something to our lives we fear we may not otherwise have, or maybe because we just lack alternative options. We hear it when people we trust voice their concerns about these people. We just choose not to listen and often not even to engage. And that in itself is weird and a warning sign. If you tried to attack someone that I cared about out of the blue, I'd defend them. Even if I didn't want confrontation, I'd at least go away from the conversation and mentally defend them in my own head. It upsets and bothers me to see people I know unfairly attacked. I want to protect them or at least reassure them if they need it. Yet when the same happens to a cunt in our lives, often we don't want to talk about it at all. We shut down the conversation or put our phone down and distract ourselves. We may even start to engage in cunty behavior ourselves, like attacking the person or smearing them in private without the chance to defend themselves. Is there ever an absolute need to have a cunt deeply involved in our lives though? There may be situations where we can't avoid it, such as work, but even then we can identify it and limit their impact. Have we not learned from the past year that with these people, their behavior doesn't just stop at certain points? It stops when we make them stop, when we assert control over our minds and our bodies, when we hold them to account for their behavior, and when we insist that this isn't acceptable. It stops when we don't let it start to begin with by not ignoring red flags and supporting people because they're a bit interesting, different, charismatic, or charming. And that all starts by learning the smaller telltale signs and adjusting accordingly. This is by no means an exhaustive list, just some of my own personal observations that inform my judgment. But what have I missed? What are your learnings and reflections? Feel free to share and reflect with me on social media so we can continue to spread the good word, and who knows, maybe if we all put the foot down, then the world can be cunt-free by 2030.